This is DW News, and these are our top stories. Large protests have broken out in several cities across China over the country's strict and ongoing COVID measures. A rare defiance of Chinese authorities and come amid rising anger over lengthy lockdowns. Some protests, President Xi Jinping to resign. Chinese officials have refused to back down over policy despite the growing public backlash. Workers in the Tigray region have accused allies of the Ethiopian government of looting detentions. The reports have raised fears of renewed conflict between the government and the Tigray, just 3 weeks after they signed a ceasefire that ended 2 years of war. Rescuers are searching for five people still missing on the Italian holiday island of Ischia. At least seven people were killed when the slide. The government has declared a state of emergency, but bad weather has This is DW News from Berlin. Don't forget to check out our website, DW.
Hi there, I'm Hannah Hummel, and once again I'm on tour with my little green electric Beetle. This is the state of Brandenburg, just outside of Berlin. I'll be visiting Potsdam to check out Sanssouci Palace. Out for some magnificent nature. And my colleague Lucas Steger will be exploring this for you as well. Sanssouci Palace in Potsdam is thought to be one of the most places in the whole of Europe, so I can't wait to check it out. It's time to leave your worries behind to the carefree realm of nature, art, and philosophy. Exactly what this Prussian palace was built for. Welcome to Sanssouci. Sanssouci was 18th century by the Prussian king Friedrich II, also called Frederick the Great. It was his summer palace, his Prussian Versailles. Here, Friedrich wanted to pursue his hobbies undisturbed and escape the pomp and ceremony of the royal court. Sanssouci is French and literally translates into without concerns or without worries, so that's exactly what my motto today is going to be. Quick tip to make your day as carefree as King Friedrich would have wanted it to be. Book your tickets for the palace in advance online to avoid the long queues. Entry into the gardens is free, and that's where I'm starting my tour. Sanssouci is so much more than the palace itself. The park is made up of over 300 hectares of beautiful terraces, vineyards, and plants. In 1990, both the gardens and the palace itself were added to the UNESCO World Heritage List. This magnificent fountain is a feature that was also copied from Versailles. It's decorated with sculptures of Roman gods, and Venus is particularly special. She was actually gifted by the then owner of Versailles, the French King Louis XV. This one now is a copy. The original is at Berlin's Bode Museum. Let's go in.
Since we're filming, we get the whole place to ourselves, and I even get a private tour.
I want to learn more about the famous Prussian king and the splendid home he built here. So Birgit Morgenroth has kindly agreed to show me around. Who was King Frederick II?
Frederick was a Prussian king, actually the Prussian king. He was the one who led the Prussians into lots of wars of conquest. He loved his people and his country Prussia.
Why did he choose this location to build Sanssouci?
It's on a small hill, And he had his burial place, his tomb, prepared on this hill early on in his reign. And at some point he thought, what a beautiful hill. It would be a pity to just be buried here. So he had a palace built right at the top. And he said, it's just for me. It's my dream palace, my sans souci. I want to be here without any worries.
Mein sans souci, ich möchte hier sein ohne Sorgen.
You can see into the library through the window.
Visitors aren't allowed into what King Friedrich considered to be his holy room, but you can still see the beauty of the wood-paneled domed library by peeking through the window. And this is where the king lived and worked, writing poetry and philosophical texts. He rarely slept more than 4 hours a night. Such was the Prussian way.
That's the armchair Frederick the Great died in. It's actually the original.
King Friedrich was also buried here, and I'm going to visit his grave, and I brought a rather unusual souvenir to place on top of it.
And it seems I'm not the only one.
So why are people laying potatoes on the king's grave? Well, before King Friedrich, potatoes weren't really eaten in Germany. Actually, they were more used just for decoration. But King Friedrich passed an order to increase potato crops in the country following bad harvests and subsequent famines.
According to legend, he tricked local farmers into planting more of the so-called apple of the earth by posting soldiers around the potato fields to protect them. It worked. Highly valued goods taste even better.
So here we are, a token for the Potato King. Sanssouci Palace is definitely the main event, but there is another much bigger palace behind me that we're going to go look at now, because King Friedrich needed more than one.
The new palace was built at the end of Prussia's 7 Years' War in the 1760s. King Friedrich sought to demonstrate the power and glories of Prussia and wanted to show off the strength of its finances. He himself rarely stayed in the castle. It was mainly for guests.
Let's go check it out.
The new palace has around 300 rooms, all decked out in an excessive splendor of marble, stone, and gilt. Can you believe the whole palace only took 6 years to build? The main festivities hall, or marble room, extends over 2 floors. The fresco on the ceiling here is one of the largest in Europe. Another must-see room is the Grotto Hall. The 600-ton structure is encrusted with over 24,000 shells and semi-precious stones. King Friedrich would perform concerts for his guests here. He was a passionate flute player and composed 120 flute sonatas.
So obviously from the piano we can see that this was a real music room. But if you look carefully, there are instruments embedded into the ceiling that used to be real instruments and are now gilded in real gold.
All of the 3,600 books in the library are written in French, since that was the language Friedrich preferred over German. He often had the same set of books in all of his several castles, so that wherever he was, he had access to all of them. I could spend hours walking around the beautiful gardens here, especially in the golden evening light.
My beetle and I are taking a little break from driving so that my colleague Lukas Steger can take a look around. He'll be exploring some of Brandenburg's so-called lost places.
An old military barracks in eastern Germany. Places like this are dark, but fascinating.
Right now, I am 18 meters underground. There is only concrete around me. It's a little spooky here. It's a so-called lost place in Brandenburg, close to Berlin. But let's start above ground.
Wünsdorf, 20 kilometers south of Berlin. Until shortly after the fall of the wall, this was a barracks of the former Soviet army. Since its departure in 1994, the area has been neglected. Here I meet around 30 amateur photographers looking for special subjects. After a short briefing, everyone can go off on their own. Photo tours such as this are regularly offered by a Berlin operator.
You have to follow certain rules, such as where you can and can't go. We create barriers and secure the location beforehand. If a floor might collapse, we don't go in there. Then we block it off. It doesn't look so bad on the photos. You just have to stick to that.
In front of the main building stands a monument to Lenin, the leader of the October Revolution in Russia in 1917. It is said to be the last one left in Germany. I'm now inside the main building, the so-called officer's house. And I'm obviously all alone here right now. It smells musty. Decades-old dust hangs in the air. On the upper floor, I discover the remains of a radio studio. I wonder what was recorded here in the past. I venture further up into the attic. I feel a little queasy up here, but I'm rewarded.
I can't believe it. This is an old newspaper. It's from 1986. This newspaper is older than me.
Betreten verboten, no trespassing. Well, as a participant of the tour, of course I'm allowed in.
Wünsdorf was already a military area in the 19th century. In 1910, an imperial military training area was built for the then German Empire. Later, under Hitler, the high command of the German army had its headquarters here. From 1953 to 1994, Wünsdorf was a garrison town for the so-called Group of Soviet Armed Forces in Germany. Up to 75,000 military personnel lived here with their families. There were schools, kindergartens, shops, as well as sports and cultural facilities.
You have to imagine, this used to be a theater. There was a lot going on here. And now, it's just silent.
Finally, we visit the outdoor pool. Almost 30 years of standstill. They have cast a strange spell over the site. Also in Wünsdorf, about 2 kilometers away, I join another tour. The Wünsdorf Zeppelin was the central intelligence bunker of the German Army High Command. Let's take a closer look.
And sensitively, please, we don't want to hear it bang.
We go down 3 floors, a total of 18 meters underground. The bunker has a constant temperature of 10 degrees Celsius. It was the heart of military communications during World War II. Later, the Soviet Army used it for its own communications. In 1939, only 2 years after it was